Hey there, Pastor Ben here, continuing our study through the book of Galatians. This week we are in Galatians 3, verses 19 through 22. There's been a lot of talk about the law versus promises, grace versus the rule keeping, and what all that means. And in today's passage, Paul asks some rhetorical questions about the law and its purpose, and why, if God has a promise given, why did he establish the law? What was the point of it? What really truly then is the meaning behind having the law being given to humankind in the way that it was and in the timeline that it was? We saw last time how the promise of God to Abraham preceded the law. And so as we explore this idea in today's passage, we'll see that Paul makes some pretty important points for us to understand, even for us today, as we consider our sanctification and our desire to live more like Christ, but to not fall into the temptation of the punch card lifestyle of legalism, where we do all the right things and then we get the good things from God. So let's read our verses today, starting in verse 19. What then was the purpose of the law? It was added because of transgressions, until the seed to whom the promise referred had come. The law was put into effect through angels by a mediator. A mediator, however, does not represent just one party, but God is one. Is the law therefore opposed to the promises of God? Absolutely not. For if a law had been given that could impart life, then righteousness would certainly have come by the law. But the scripture declares that the whole world is a prisoner of sin, so that what was promised, being given through faith in Jesus Christ, might be given to those who believe. So, this very important question of why did the law matter? What was the point of it? And Paul answers that with, it was added because of the transgressions until the seed to whom the promise referred to had come. And there's two thoughts in here, that the law being added because of transgressions is in part to help humanity from imploding in on itself. We saw the lawlessness of the world before the flood, before God saved Noah and his family out of that. And so part of the purpose of the law is to keep humans from just sinking deeper and deeper into the depravity and the consequences of sin. But then the other side of that is also to prepare us for what it means to be living in the light of the Savior and the second coming, the truth of a newly formed life with Christ. Right, the seed, again, we talked about in last session, being Christ, who we know the promise is referring to. And then he goes on to say, this law was put into effect by a mediator, through an angel, by a mediator. We see in Stephen's testimony in Acts 7 that the Jews believed that it was angels that were giving both Moses' call at the burning bush, and then also that gave him the Ten Commandments, the law being given from God. Again, you can read that if you read through Stephen's speech in Acts 7. That's part of what this is pointing to. We do know that Moses could not see God fully, that God revealed his back to him, and so this idea of having a mediator makes sense. And then this curious verse 20, mediator, however, does not represent just one party, but God is one. It's a lot of different thoughts on what this verse means. It might be referring to part of the mystery of the Trinity, where we know that God is one, but also triune, that there's three parts of God. And so it might just be solidifying that difficult to wrap our minds around idea that there's Jesus, there's God the Father, there's God the Holy Spirit, but there's still only one God, and they are all equivalent and equal. There's also the idea that the promise, right, coming from the one God is better than the law coming through the mediator as a representative of someone who's in between two parties, because it's a reminder that the promise given by God, our salvation, starts with God and ends with God. Whereas the law starts with God and ends with man being able, or rather not being able, to follow through with what God has asked. And then Paul asks another important question: is the law therefore opposed to the promises of God? And he says very, very strongly, absolutely not. We've seen the same kind of phrase earlier in the letter. And he says, if a law had been given that could impart life, then righteousness would certainly have come by the law. Right? This idea that the law, if the purpose of the law were to make us righteous and it were something that we could fulfill, then we would be doing it. We would be able to live it out. But certainly we know from our own experience, we are not able to live a perfect, sinless life. We are not able to follow every command that God has given us. And then he uses this example of being locked up as a prisoner. Verse 22, but the scriptures declares that the whole world is a prisoner of sin, so that what was promised, being given through faith in Jesus Christ, might be given to those who believe. So we see another personification of the scriptures, and this time the scriptures are sort of a jailer, right, telling us, this is what God requires, and if you don't follow through, these are the consequences of not following through, right? There's no way out, there's no escaping the law if the law is what's truly going to save us. And so, and Paul certainly, amongst other believers, would know the truth of being jailed and what that's like. And, I imagine it's a powerful image to him at different parts in his life. And once again, we see that it's the promise that's being given through faith, right? And being given to those who believe. So, again, the doing side of this, the fulfilling of the law, the living out of that lifestyle that the Judaizers are trying to put into the minds of the Gentile believers, just isn't going to work. It's a prison. It's revealing to us the awfulness of ourselves and the holiness of God. Paul talks in Romans 7 about that the law revealed unto him what sin was, and that sin grew because of the law, because it makes us realize, oh, yeah, that's not good either, and I do that. Or maybe even makes us question, man, my heart desires this thing that's not good, or desires it in a way that's not good, right? The law reveals our desperate, desperate need for God, for Jesus, for his perfect life and his sacrifice in order to be able to relate to God. Because if man could relate to God through the law, truly, then the law would still be established. But we see that God relates to man first, through the example of Abraham, as we've been studying out, but also through the example of Moses, also through the example of Paul and his life, right? That God initiates this exchange, and instead of it being a two-way street, in many ways, it's a one-way from God, bringing us around to him, and then working in us as we work out our salvation, in order to make us more like Christ, and so that we will be prepared for the promise that is to come, as we saw in verse 19. And so it's important for us just to remember our pursuit of holy living is through faith, through the power of the Holy Spirit in us. We don't have to obey the letter of the law in order to earn anything, but we see that also the law is not abolished when Jesus comes. In fact, Jesus says, I didn't come to abolish the law, but to fulfill it. And so in learning to live in a way that fulfills God's law, but realizing that it's not through God's law that we go to God. It's through Jesus that we're able to go to Christ. We don't need a mediator. We don't need this secondary thing of sacrifices and cleansing rituals and just all of the different aspects that were laid out there for the Jews in their early stages. Those things were helpful to, again, keep them safe from themselves, from the world around them. But ultimately, it was the law was established in order to point people to their desperate need for salvation from a God who just and righteously deserves or puts on us a deserved wrath, but also is the only one that has the power to save us from that wrath and to bring us into his righteous state through Jesus. And so I hope as we continue to study through this this thought about the law, that we'll be careful not to totally throw away the idea that we shouldn't attempt to live in a way that honors God, but remember that we don't approach God because of how we live, but because of who Jesus is.